T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
And that's a ground ball right side.
Altuve to the shortstop Garcia. There's a double play for a three-game sweep and a shutout for the Astros. 13-0 the final score. Winning streak up to 10 games on the year.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
Yes, it is, and we start another show here in the train over at Minute Maid Park. It's a beautiful thing. The Astros are hot. They win 13-0. They complete the sweep over the Baby Birds. I love that. It's my new phrase. We were listening to Baltimore radio, and they call them the Baby Birds, and I absolutely love it. So I'm going to wear it out. But, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Ron the Show Hughley is out today. Spent a little time with his fam, his beautiful fam. I hope they're doing well, enjoying their day. And hold on, show. Ron, the Show Hughley is out, and Vanessa Richardson is in. And, sister, you picked a good time to join the show because these Astros are rocking and rolling.
They are. We always have you on Sports Sunday to talk, so it's nice that I get to return the favor. Happy to be here. And, yeah, they looked amazing. Bregman's still hurt, yet they're pulling this off.
Come on. They're pulling it off. I mean, when you got – I call them the others, Vanessa. I call them the others. When you talk about guys like Toro, who had – 4 RBIs last night. You got Robel Garcia, you got Straw, you got McCormick, and I mean the list goes on and on of the fill-ins, the others. When the superstars are out for one reason or another, whether it's rest or injury, these guys step in and they absolutely kill it. Right now, you know, the only worry, the only concern for the Astros, right, is are they peaking too soon? I mean, we talk about how long the Major League Baseball season is, the All-Star break isn't even here yet. And really the concern, there's obviously a little bit of a concern in the bullpen, but the concern is, are these guys peaking too soon? Whether we're talking about the lineup or we're talking about the pitching staff, Jose Urquidy goes 7 innings last night, 3 hits, no earned runs, 1 walk and 6 strikeouts. And they're just on fire in every sense of the word. They got a hell of a winning streak going.
They do. And, you know, I'm one of those people, I think most people, when we found out that, you know, the Astros were going to lose George Springer,
yes,
the mindset is that you're a little bit worried. So this is, you know, we knew they'd be good, but in some ways it's a pleasant surprise. I don't see anybody touching their offense.
Yeah, we knew they were going to be good, right? But the question was how good,
right?
Right. And then last year, the COVID-19 season, you don't know really what to pull from that going into this year. And I tell you, we've had this conversation. I'd be interested in your opinion. I mean, how good are they? Is this lineup, when they're healthy, obviously, is this lineup as good as the 17 and 19 Astros that included George Springer leading things off? You got Altuve moving to the leadoff spot. Obviously, Correa coming into his own. Kyle Tucker was the X factor coming into this season, right? If he could get on track, then we could have the conversation about 17 and 19. In your opinion, is this Astros lineup offensively, or are they in the conversation with the 17 and 19 Astros?
I think they are. And I think the main thing, Clint, too, is that they just have that similar swagger of the 2019
team. Definitely swag.
Where they're extremely confident. And look, it's always the elephant in the room. Everything that they have gone through, whether they deserved it or not, with the cheating scandal, with people doubting them, I think that makes them have even more swagger. Hey, we're still here. We're still doing it. Fans are back in the stands now. We're being booed. They're bringing trash cans and we don't care.
I said it from the jump.
They don't care.
I think you've covered sports for a long time, grew up. You just got through telling us you grew up in the backyard of the Indianapolis Colts training camp and, mm-hmm. and walking over with your dad every day. So you're definitely a sports gal. But, I mean, this is when the cheating scandal with the Astros went down and, you know, the concern was could they recover?
Mm-hmm.
The managers outed and Dusty Baker comes in and the GM's outed and James Click comes in and Crane's making some big-time adjustments, obviously, everywhere. But with the roster – I said it from the jump, man. The Astros are going to win in this deal. I mean, mm-hmm. love it or hate it, love them or hate them, they are more popular right now than they were before the cheating scandal. I saw a map the other day, guys. you saw this map,
yeah,
didn't you? Where it was the
Twitter.
Most hated. I think it was the most hated mm-hmm. hated teams outside of the state they play in. And the Astros covered five or six states.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that wasn't the case 2 years ago.
Absolutely not.
And now they're that black sheep of Major League Baseball, and they're out there absolutely balling. 10-game win streak. They did that twice in 2019, so they're not too far removed from the 10-game win streak that the Astros have. The record is a 12-game win streak for the Astros organization. They've done it three times, thanks to Vanessa, by the way. MLB.com, you were dead ass wrong. It happened in 99.
Yes.
It happened in 04. And Vanessa picked out in 2018 that the Astros had a 12-game win streak. And don't look now. I want to knock on wood because I don't want to jinx them. But with Detroit for, what is it, four games? Four-game series versus the Detroit Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got the Baby Birds, which is the Orioles, at home in Minute Maid Park for three games. Don't look now. I don't want to jinx them, but there's a chance they can eclipse that 12-game win streak.
I think they absolutely can.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. And they're hotter than a firecracker right now. So is that right? Every hitter with the Astros last night, starter.
Yes.
Every starter had a hit.
Yes, every starter had a hit. The only two players that didn't were Castro and Taylor Jones, who came in later in the game.
That's it. The Astros, they win again 13-0. They complete the sweep versus the Orioles. They start a four-game series versus the Detroit Tigers. AJ Hinch is back in town. And Vanessa, look, that's got to be a tough position the players are in, right? I mean, you got a guy that obviously is no longer with the Astros. As a player, you got to have a lot of love for the guy because he put you in position. You won a World Series with him, and he was outed for really because you had a scandal rocking and rolling as the players. This has got to be an interesting dynamic between two franchises with A.J. Hinch coming back in town, seeing his former team.
Well, and you never hear them say anything bad about him. You know, and you haven't heard a lot of them say anything bad about Jeff Luno other than, of course, Dallas Keuchel. So I don't think there's bad blood there. But, yeah, I mean, do they want to beat him, especially after the Tigers came in town and whooped the Astros? Yeah.
But correction, they are in Detroit. I said they're coming here. They're in Detroit tonight. And I did some research, guys. Twitter had me a little worked up yesterday, right before the show ended, and we kept mentioning how good the pitching was,
right.
Starting pitching was for the Astros, and I had a guy hit me on Twitter and said, guys, relax a little bit on the Astros, man. The pitchers are averaging, you know, roughly five innings a start, and so I got to doing some digging. And the reason I bring it up is because Jose Urquidy goes seven innings last night again, so the numbers are actually even better than I thought, but I had to check my man Steve on Twitter. Check these numbers out. These are average length of starts over the last 20, give or take, 22, 23 starts for the Astros. And I did subtract, I did take out the pitch count starts where the pitchers, for one reason or another, were coming off of injury and they were on a pitch count. Luis Garcia, who goes tonight in game one versus the Detroit Tigers, he's averaging six plus innings an outing, and this is over the last five starts. Greinke, six plus innings over the last five starts.
I like your voice.
Jose Urquidy, six plus innings over the last five start. Framber Valdez, seven plus innings over the last five starts, and McCullers, six plus innings over the last four starts. Again, I took out the pitch count games that these guys started. But with that pitching rotation, and you add in Odorizzi, who appears to be the last couple of outings in pretty good shape and coming on pretty strong, this starting rotation for the Astros is it's getting out of control. These guys are really, really pitching well. And again, the question is can they sustain it for the long haul?
Well, and I think when you have a good starting rotation, it can erase some of those bullpen problems, right, that have seemed to plague the Astros.
Absolutely. And that's the big key right now. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. If you can't get to the Astros bullpen early, I'm not talking about in the sixth inning. I'm talking about in four or early in five. If you can't get to that bullpen, you're going to have a hell of a time beating this team. I'm Clint Sterner. That's Vanessa Richardson. She's in. Ron, the show, Ugly is out. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Hey, Houston, I know you don't like to do this. I know you don't like to do this. My man Tyler in there, biggest Houston sports fan I've ever been around, for the record. He takes a cake. Even my Baytown crew, who I talk about all the time, they're big time, but Tyler's got it tatted all over his arm and wears a damn shirt with some kind of Houston pro franchise every single day. I hate to do this to y'all, but y'all need to give a hand to them Rangers now.
Ooh, don't do it.
Them Texas Rangers, they beat up on them Oakland A's last night, 5-3 now.
You're right.
They beat up on the Oakland A's last night, so what did the Astros do? They had an opportunity to stretch out that one-game lead in the division to stretch it out to two, and I really do. The question of are the Astros peaking too early, I think, is going to be one for it's going to be here for the long haul. I mean, we got another 80 games, 90 games to play. That question's going to come up a lot. But the question right now is, can the Astros stretch out this lead in the division leading up to the All-Star break? 17 games in 18 days coming up, and the Rangers are playing the A's, and they got them again tonight.
You know what? I'll allow it this time.
Come on, T.
I'll allow it this time, because you know what? I feel bad for them, dude. I feel bad for the Arlington Rangers. So, you know what? They can win.
Don't call them the Arlington Rangers. They are in the great state of Texas. Have a little bit of respect. Hey. We can hate the Cowboys and hate the Rangers. I get it. But don't disrespect.
I'm just calling them where they play. That's where they play their games. They're the Arlington Rangers. But they can win these games. We need them too. So I appreciate it. But after this series, if they're not playing anyone in division, they can just go back to losing.
Well, because the Rangers beat up on the A's, the Astros now sit two games ahead in the division. So for one more day, I know it's not easy out there. But for one more day, because the Rangers got the A's again tonight, I believe. I believe it's a four. They can actually take the four game series with them tonight, right? Because they beat them two out of three.
Yeah, yeah.
If they win tonight, the Astros have the Tigers. The Astros have a chance to stretch this thing out one more game. And hell, I'll take every game lead that the Astros can get. So I'm here for the Rangers again. The Astros. Luis Garcia goes tonight. Game one versus the Detroit Tigers. I got a bone to pick with somebody before we get out. Mattress Mac, Vanessa.
Yeah.
You know my man Mattress Mac,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
who
Everyone
doesn't know
that.
Mattress Mac?
And people around the country are starting to know Mattress Mac.
Mattress Mac, you son of a gun. We had you on the radio a week ago, and I told you to shoot me a text when you decided to put your next bet on the line. And I'll be damned if Mattress Mac didn't. I didn't get a text, for the record. But Mattress Mac has put a bet on the Astros to win it all, baby, to win the World Series. $3.35 million.
That's a lot of cash.
On the Astros to win the series. Odds are that means that Mattress Mac probably has some kind of furniture deal coming up. So anybody out there?
Well, that's what Darren Rovell was on with Payne and Pendergast. Okay. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app, and that's what he said. He said, pay attention to the fact that Mattress Mac kept saying, free, free, free. there's a little bit of an advertisement element, but yeah, I mean, he's definitely become like the face of betting in Houston.
That's it. It's coming. If you got an empty room in your house, get ready, because Mattress Mac is going to try to fill that sucker up, baby. All right, now that's Vanessa Richardson. I'm Clint Sterner. Hey, make sure you're listening 345, 445. Call your family, call your friends. We're putting a grand in your hand. Be listening every day. It literally pays to listen to Sports Radio 610. Also, today coming up, you want to stay dialed in now. Are the Astros the best team in Major League Baseball? We got Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB insider Tony Gwynn joining us at 335 to catch us up on that. And Brandon Backe, former Houston Astros pitcher. He's always spitting fire, baby. Galveston's finest is with us at 2:35 to tell us how big of a deal this sticky substance, this spider tack issue in Major League Baseball, tell us how big that is. So make sure you put some reminders out there. Call your friends, call your family. Make sure everybody's listening. Check this out. A national name has commented on the Deshaun Watson situation. Did he tell us anything new? That's next.
Those Astros, they're kicking ass and taking names.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
We're on the show. Ugly's out. Vanessa Richardson is in, and we've got a national name that's catching us up on the latest with Deshaun Watson. Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network was on with Pat McAfee and the fellas, which I thoroughly enjoy, Pat McAfee and the crew. They chopped up the latest on Deshaun Watson. This is Ian Rapoport of NFL Network on the most recent with Deshaun Watson.
I did notice that he's back, kind of back at it on social media, which, you know, I don't think he really stopped training, but obviously, like, as you get closer to the season, as he gets more and more high profile, like, I've also noticed the Instagram thing. So whatever that is, like, he's back playing and kind of being out there. I don't get the sense any resolution is coming soon. I don't get the sense we'll see one until kind of probably maybe right before training camp. Teams are still interested. I know some would like him to kind of wrap up his legal situation, settle.
Vanessa, where are you at with the every time he posts an IG video,
yeah,
that the world goes crazy and starts talking about him? I mean, are you surprised that he's working out? Are you surprised that he's staying in shape? Are you surprised that he's back on IG?
I mean, him being back on IG was noteworthy the other day because it was the first video he had posted since this entire thing began. So that first video, yeah. But, like, am I surprised he's working out? No. I mean, he's going to stay ready to play football. He knows, you know, that at some point a team's going to call his name. And that's why you hear Ian Rapoport talking about it. Teams are 100% still interested.
There you
but
go.
They know that the order of what they do matters. You know, they know that this has to get wrapped up.
Yeah,
whether that's a settlement.
Explain that. The order of what they do matters. What dig a little deeper there for
the
me.
The NFL has had so many missteps. Whether you're talking about Ray Rice, whether you're talking about them being behind the times in certain situations with abuse and domestic violence and all of that. So they know, yeah, I mean, they're going to talk. The teams are going to talk to David Mulugeta. They're going to talk to his agent, but they know that these things need to be wrapped up, like Ian Rapoport said, before they actually pursue the trade, and the Texans probably feel the same way.
Yeah, so
want full value.
So what I hear you saying is that you think that this stuff's going to have to be completely wrapped up before he moves. Like,
yeah.
You don't think there's a chance he's traded with this stuff still on the table?
I think that the NFL is going to try to make sure that it is wrapped up.
Okay, gotcha. It's interesting to hear. Because you hear, you know, the silence, and there's a month-long silence or 2 or 3 weeks of silence, and all of a sudden everybody starts speculating on, hey, man, there must be some kind of settlement in the works. And I'm going to tell you, Vanessa, I think, and some people may think this is silly, but I think there's something there. There's been a couple of different, landmarks, if you will, mm-hmm. along the way with this Deshaun Watson stuff that made me believe that he's a little bit more serious than one would think in terms of seeing this thing through. I know there was at one point when Ms. Quinones, I can't remember her first name, but one of Rusty Harden's counterparts, mm-hmm. she stands up and unprompted, she mentions Deshaun Watson's mama. And what he wants everybody to know is his mama didn't raise. I just know this. My mom is one of my best friends, has been for until I got married. She was my only best friend until I got married, actually. But when you bring mama into it, like mm-hmm. you mean business. Mm-hmm. Like we're not just playing games and trying to move the needle publicly if you're going to bring mama into this thing. The other thing is when Harden said, hey, a man can make more money, a man can't get his reputation back. We're going to see this thing through. Right. And then the other thing is another thing that Ian Rappaport talked about on the Pat McAfee show. And I think this kind of stuff is very telling. I mean, there's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of mirrors involved with these legal issues. I get it. But every now and then there's something said or something mentioned that I put some stock into. And this is one of them. This is Ian Rappaport talking about the settlement possibility or situation for Deshaun Watson and the 22 plaintiffs.
Deshaun sure. would settle if everybody was allowed to talk. Deshaun's team doesn't want to settle because the settlement agreement presented by, what's his name?
Busby
yeah. is that everybody would not be allowed to talk going forward. It would be like a NDA type thing.
Right. I don't know if he definitely would settle. Like, I don't know if they have a number, but I know from what I was told that he's not settling unless the accusers are allowed to speak however they want, and unless everything becomes public, like full transparency.
He didn't misspeak right there. That he didn't misspeak. Like what Rusty Harden has said and what it appears Deshaun Watson wants is 100% transparency. That, and typically when this stuff, and you know this, Vanessa, being in the media, is when stuff like this happens, regardless of the nature, when the legal system is involved and there's a settlement, there's usually a muzzle that's put on both parties. Mm-hmm. There's a hush order on both parties. In fact, I mean, I've been a part of a settlement outside of court, not of this nature, but from a business standpoint. And the one point that my attorneys made very clear to me was, hey, man, you can't go on radio tomorrow and talk about this.
Yeah.
Right? You can't go to the newspapers tomorrow and write and have an article about this. You can't talk. There's a hush order. You can't talk at all, or you got to give this money back. And I wasn't really interested in giving that money back. So the hush order was is usually a major issue. And when it's of this nature, it's even more so, right? When Deshaun Watson talks about his mama, mm-hmm. he talks about his reputation. And when he talks about wanting transparency for both parties, those are all situations where I sit back and I think a little bit differently about whether I believe he's going to force the issue to see this thing all the way through.
Well, I think what some people thought at the beginning was he's going to want to get out of it as quickly as possible. And I think what he has proven and what Rusty Harden has said, Rusty Harden confirmed what we've been talking about, sure. which is that they didn't want to sign NDAs. I mean, he came out and confirmed that. So
an NDA is non-disclosure agreement,
right?
Yeah, that to me, that's just most of the time players in these situations. Usually they want the non-disclosure agreement.
That's
they
what
want
makes it
everybody hushed, right? And so, yeah, I just when Ian Rappaport really didn't tell us anything new. I mean, this is all stuff that I think we've heard. We've heard to this point, but I do think it's worth pointing out that to me that takes this thing to another level in a sense of Deshaun Watson appears to be pretty serious about going the distance and clearing his name versus settling. I'm Clint Sterner. I got Vanessa Richardson alongside me today. Ron the Show Ugly is out with his beautiful family, Courtney and his three babies, spending a little quality time with them. And we're lucky to have Vanessa with us on Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Hey, there is, you and I talked a little bit about this. What the hell? Why not? We'll discuss it here live. Darius Geis, mm-hmm. The running back out of LSU that was drafted a few years back by the Washington Redskins, running back, unbelievable. I watched him torch my Razorbacks in Fayetteville for about 200 plus, and it was awful. So he was a bad man coming out, but he's had some serious legal issues, domestic violence issues since he's been in the league. Actually, the Washington Redskins released him before the justice system ran its course, before the NFL was able to decide on anything for him. He settled. He settled, I believe it was this morning I saw, maybe it was yesterday, but he settled with his ex-girlfriend, and apparently he's cleared right now legally of any of the domestic abuse, physical abuse issues that he had going on before today. But he's free, and he's free of those issues, I should say. But the point in bringing that up is I think I've been very critical of the NFL and in their my confidence in their ability or their want to or their desire to hold guys accountable and do it in a big way. I think this is a chance for Texans fans, Deshaun Watson fans. I'm not saying what Deshaun Watson is guilty of anything. I'm not saying what he did is in any way, shape, or form what Darius Geis did. But from an NFL perspective, Vanessa, I think this is a time for fans to watch how the NFL handles Darius Geis after the settlement came and gone and the legal issues are behind him. How does the NFL handle this? Because they can be as severe as kicking him out of the league forever, and they could let a team pick him up and let him play tomorrow, let him go to training camp. So I think there's something there to watch how the NFL handles this if you're interested in what possibly could happen down the road with Deshaun Watson.
Well, the NFL, they have their own investigation, right? They have Lisa Friel, the former chief sex crimes prosecutor of Manhattan, who's conducting the investigation. And you have to remember, as of last week, Rusty Hardin said the NFL had not contacted Deshaun for the investigation yet. So they have their own investigation going on. And, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting, feels like the wrong word, but to see how they handle, are they going to suspend this Darius Geis at all, you know, for things that, yeah, he settled. Yeah, he's, you know, I'm sure there's probably an NDA involved there as well. There absolutely could be with his former girlfriend at the domestic violence. So, yeah, how they handle that could be, I'm not saying it will be, but like you're saying, it could be indicative of how they'll handle other issues.
Yeah, it's just another chance for the NFL to either show everybody out there that they're going to aggressively hold these guys accountable, regardless of what kind of settlement is or isn't reached, or are they going to do what they've done in the past and really struggle dealing with these issues? We know there's one coming down the pipe with Deshaun at some point, whether that's when his name's cleared or that's when there's a settlement, agreed upon or not. It's just an opportunity to sit back and watch how the NFL handles it, and it'll be interesting. All right, we got a former Astro that's going to join us next. You don't want to miss this. This dude usually spits fire. I'm sure he will this time. It's been a while since he's been on with us, and we got a lot of action going on with the Astros and with Major League Baseball that he will be able to address. That's next.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
The Show is out today, and Vanessa Richardson of KPRC Channel 2 Sports is in for my man Ron Neshoe Ugly. And damn, that's a good song, Tyler. You're doing a damn good job, my man.
I got you, man.
And we are joined by one of my favorite, the pride and joy of Galveston, Texas, and former Houston Astro pitcher, Brandon Backe. Backe, what's going on, my man?
Hey, not much, buddy. Good to talk to you again and be back on the radio. And you don't have to lie that much, man.
Nah, you know I ain't lying. You're one of us, baby. You're all right over here. I don't have to lie about you. Some folks, we bring them on, I got to lie about it. But, hey, look, Backe, obviously, man, you towed the rubber, man. You stood up there in the biggest moments, World Series, man. And actually, you dealt in the World Series. Man, how big of a deal is it for pitchers to not be able to use any types of sticky substance moving forward in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, a lot of friends have asked me about this and family members. And, you know, it's a big deal for a pitcher to have a feeling for the baseball. The last thing you want, personally, as a pitcher, to have no feeling or not have any confidence in the way the ball feels in your hand. For one, you don't want to hurt anybody or kill somebody with 90 plus miles an hour and not knowing where it's going to go. And two, I want to be out there and be competitive. So I don't want to throw balls over the middle because I'm timid at throwing the baseball towards the catcher because I think I might hit somebody. You know, the feel for the ball is very important for any pitcher, just to know that the ball is going to go where he wants it to go. You know, but when it comes to some of this sticky stuff that now has been coming out, man, I tell you, the game's got to be under control. And if it's giving these guys that much more of an advantage, then I agree with the league and trying to crack down on it.
What did you use anything? And if so, what did you use?
Yeah, so, you know, I won't be a hypocrite about things, and I'll tell you now that I'm retired. But, you know, the only thing I did, I wouldn't even consider it cheating. You know, you got a pine tar rag, right, that's used by most hitters. And every starting pitcher would take a baseball to the bullpen to get ready and for the game. And with that particular ball, I would put some pine tar on that ball. And, you know, between my warmups and the pitches that I throw off the mound, I mean, I'm probably throwing somewhere between 60 and 70 throws or pitches accumulated. By the time I'm done with that, the pine tar is basically gone, whether it's on the ball or on my fingers. What it does do is help with my fingers. There's really no tackiness, but I have some sort of substance on there where it gives me a comfortable feeling with a new ball that I get sometime throughout the game. That's the only thing I used. Never had it on me on the field. Never used it during the game, just prior to.
Brandon Backe joining us on Sports Radio 610. Hey, Dusty Baker brought up what I thought was a good point. If they were going to do this, why did they do it in the middle of the season? Why did they make such a huge move in the middle of the season?
You're right, Vanessa. I mean, this is something that's kind of a little out of the norm for anything that comes up. I think they just felt like the league was being pressured so much by hitters around the league complaining enough to where they felt that they needed to do something now. And this is their answer to it. And, you know, the mound visits, the checking of the pitchers is the first thing they could come up with and I guess the best way that they can handle this.
It's turned into an absolute circus, Backe. I mean, am I out of line when I say this? Like, I watch Major League Baseball, and it pisses me off at Rob Manfred. Like, what are we doing? I mean, this is – you got managers charging pitcher, one of the best pitchers in baseball coming out of the dugout. You got guys taking their belt off and damn near stripping down to their tights. I mean, what are we doing?
Well, what's going to be the final answer here? You know, if spin rate goes down but the numbers for the pitchers are the same or relatively the same, do they continue this for the next year or the following years to come? How far does it? Where is the line drawn to where, you know, this is going to be policed? You know, to what extent is it going to be policed, and how long is it going to be policed? What is going to dictate that? You know, I don't understand it. I don't get it. Usually, you know, this isn't the olden days when the players handled it themselves. You know, if you think someone's cheating, you brush them up and in. If you keep on cheating, then you go ahead and hit them in the neck, and maybe fisticuffs during the game, one of the way or the other. But you know, and hell, some fans even like that. But you know, times have changed, and I certainly understand if there is a huge advantage in the game, one way or the other, then I agree. Let's take it out. But this seems to be a little bit of a nitpicking. And maybe even childish mindset from some of these hitters that are complaining. You know, a lot of in some of these conversations I have with friends and family, the one thing I'd like to say is, if you put it on the other side of, on the other side of things, you talk about spin rate going down because or going up because of this sticky substance. Well, if you take away batting gloves from hitters and pine tar from hitters and only give them rosin and a lick of the fingers like pitchers can do, you're going to see bat speed go down, which ultimately is going to result in less home runs, less batting average. So if you're going to take from one, you might as well take from the other and see what happens with the game itself. I just don't understand. I'm not doing tit for tat. You know, I'm more of a baseball, I mean, a hitter-minded pitcher than a pitching-minded pitcher. But if you're going to complain about things, you better make sure you're right for one, especially, you know, which what went down with Scherzer. That was just a little it was just terrible, to be quite honest with you. And if hitters had a bat in their hand with no batting gloves and no pine tar, they would be timid to swing as hard as they swing now just for the fact that the bat will fly out of their hand.
Brandon, let's get to some Astros talk. Is this the best team in the MLB right now?
It sure looks like it, especially over the last two or three weeks. These guys have come out, swung the bat well. Their young pitchers that have come in, they've come in and done their job, and they're taking advantage of the situation of injured players. Even some of our young hitters are coming in and doing well. McCormick's done a great job coming in. Toro's done a great job. So what you're seeing is a complete organization of players, 40-man roster, coming in and doing well and filling in those spots when necessary and just basically picking up where our star players have left off.
Former Astro pitcher and Galveston Ball quarterback Brandon Backe joining us on Sports Radio 610 Houston Sports Leader.
Yeah.
Hey, Backe, one thing I really am interested in is because I think it's a real deal problem with the Astros. And look, it's a problem with a lot of Major League Baseball franchises, the bullpen. I mean, guys are in the bullpen because they've got some question marks in whether they're a reliever or they're a starter. So there's always a little bit of a fluid situation there. But if there's one complaint about the Astros, the bullpen has been they've left a lot to be desired on the table, ultimately. And I think there's a surplus of starters with the Astros. I don't think that. I know that. There's a surplus of starters for the Astros. And when it comes cutting time, getting towards the back half of the season, they're going to have to take one of those starters and slide him down into the bullpen in a long relief role, as they've done with Christian Javier to this point. And I don't want to speculate on who that may be. Hell, I think we're spitting in the wind at that point. But you've been in both roles. You've been a starter. You've come out of the bullpen. Take us through the difference, mindset, emotionally, physically, that it is between being a starter and being a guy that can be effective out of the bullpen.
Yeah, man, that's a great question. I mean, you know, certain personalities work better in one aspect of the game or the other. And, like I said, I'm a linebacker mentality and a quarterback, you know, on the field. But, you know, I found it better that I knew what day I was going to pitch and I had the ball for as long as I can have the ball during the game, which obviously ultimately means, you know, I wanted to be a starter. Sitting down in the bullpen, twiddling my thumbs, waiting for that moment to think that it might be my time to be called upon, and then it's not, it just really messed with my emotions as a human being and as a ball player. The uncertainty of whether I'm going to go in or not really wore on me and ultimately affected the way I pitched when I did get into the game. So me knowing my schedule, knowing every five games it's going to be my turn to go out there and shine and perform as well as I possibly can and hopefully last into the seventh, if not beyond, that worked best for me. So I can just basically attest that that's probably what everybody is. A lot of the relievers that are in the big leagues, have been relievers for quite some time throughout the minor league system, even maybe even into college. So they're used to that that role. Making the conversion from one to the other certainly can be very difficult just with the character of that player and his mindset.
Brandon, I'm going to ask you one more thing about Spider Tech because it's such a hot topic right now. What's the honest dialogue between you and other former players? Like, what is the real narrative on this?
Well, I've never touched the substance myself. I have no idea. I haven't even looked it up. Actually, matter of fact, Spider Tech is the first time I heard it, I think yesterday or the day before. So I don't know. You know, I can understand that if you have a tackiness to your fingers, to the ball, that you can create more spin rate, meaning the ball will maneuver a lot differently or more in the advantage to the pitcher. So that would be the disadvantage. However, you know, every time I talk about this, I think about Colorado. When you play in Colorado and it's 40, 30 degrees, and they just rubbed up the balls with some mud, and then that mud dries, it's like sawdust on a dance floor. It is very slick, very chalky. And if you don't have some sort of moisture or tackiness to counter that dried mud or dirt, it's very dangerous. I mean, it really is. And we've seen many guys get hit in the face or in the head and cause damage. The last thing you want for any player is to hurt someone, and especially be a career-ending injury. And that's something that possibly could happen. So is the risk of someone getting injured careerly, or knowing that the pitcher has a good feeling for the ball, knowing where it's going to go, what's more important? I think that's what it comes down to. You know, if it's that tough, we got to find some substance that works. I never used the rosin bag. It never felt good to me. I'd rather have just blown in my hand or licked it. So a little bit of moisture seemed to work better than some sort of dryness of a rosin bag mixed with moisture. So, you know, once again, I want the game to be as fair as possible. But, you know, if hitters are going to complain about pitchers and pitchers are going to complain about hitters, there's got to be some common ground in what substance can be used on both sides of the ball.
Look here, I'm with you. I hope they figure this thing out. But you're talking about that sawdust on a dance floor, baby. That makes me think about some country music somewhere. Country music and cold beer somewhere, baby. Come on.
Hey,
Backy, tell me this right here, man. You're take me back to your reliever days, man. You're in the bullpen. You get the call. It's time for you to go. What songs in your head? What's getting you right to get you to the rubber?
Man, I mean, you know, you play football, brother, and you're a quarterback, but, you know, it's just like opening that door or running through that paper in high school. It's that feeling, man, of a tiger being let out of the cage. You know, it's what athletes live for, that feeling, that moment of it's my turn. They're calling on me to go out there and do what I know to do, what I love to do, what I've been born and raised to do. And here we go. You know what I mean? It's kind of that feeling of, you know, and then that run from the outfield to the mound is it's powerful, man. You're running out there, especially at home, and the fans are cheering for you as you're running through in between innings. And it's uplifting, you know, and hell, this is also part of me making that transition from reliever to starter. You know, my worst innings as a starter was my first inning because I was too amped up. I mean, the ball was up. I walked guys or I left it up high where they crushed it. So that's kind of another thing, me coming out of the bullpen, man. It's just, it's hard to control the emotions. And literally the adrenaline is pumping through you so much that you really can't even feel the baseball in your hands. It's just, it's uncontrollable. It's a great feeling, but sometimes it can just be too much.
You got to learn how to harness that sucker. I ain't sure you've learned how to harness it yet, Becky. Hey, hey, I appreciate you joining us, big dog. It was good stuff. Good hearing from you, man.
Likewise, man, always, and thank y'all.
You bet, man. Have a good one. Hey, so it's I always like Backy's take on the starting pitcher to the bullpen, because he explains, he hit it right there at the very end, is what I was trying to get out of him earlier, but just he really struggled with coming out of the pen and going and transitioning to a starter, because coming out of the pen he was so juiced and so high. And so, I mean, he had to learn, but he'd go one inning and be tired because he had jacked himself, you know, up so high. And it's just, I always talk about, man, it's nice to sit around and go, hey, the Astros got 6+ starters. Mm-hmm. And somebody's going to transition to the bullpen.
Right.
And everybody goes, oh, well, which guy's stuff plays best out of the bullpen? Man, it's more of a psychology. It's more about the mental, who can handle it mentally. And you look at Christian Javier, who made that transition pretty smoothly. Christian's cooler than a cucumber. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can tell by his demeanor. That dude, you could pitch him anywhere, anytime, warm up anywhere, any way, anyhow. He's going to be cool, calm, and collected. It'll be interesting to see which one of these Astros starters, which one of them transition to the bullpen when that time does come. A lot of baseball left to be played, so that decision doesn't have to be made for another chunk of the season, but it'll be something that we follow. The Baby Birds got swept. The Astros are hotter than a firecracker. They've got a winning streak going. Can they set a... organization, a team record with a win streak. We'll talk about that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.